It's a privilege to be able to bring the word of God to you today from Mark 8, verse 1 to 21. Jesus feeds the 4,000. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they'll collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for 1 loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It's because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do your eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?"
Thank you, Clive and Liz, for reading that to us. Hopefully you've still got your Bible open. Do keep it open, because we're going to be dipping into it throughout. If you're joining us for the first time this morning, maybe watching online, we're working our way through the book of Mark in the Bible today, looking at that passage that Liz just read to us, the feeding of the 4,000. Now, you might hear that, and it might make you wonder, hang on, 4,000? I could have sworn it was 5,000. Maybe you remember the story from a long time ago, school assemblies or Sunday school. Or if you've been with us during this series, following along, you might think, well, this is a bit familiar. Haven't we already done this? Haven't we already looked at the feeding of the 5,000, 4,000? Well, the reason it's quite familiar is because back in chapter 6, Jesus amazingly, miraculously feeds over 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And here, today, in chapter 8, he does a very similar thing. He feeds thousands of people with just a few loaves and a few fish. Now, why has Mark done this? Has he made a mistake? Has he recorded the same story twice, accidentally? Well, when we look closely at the story, we see that there are a number of differences between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. And we're meant to see them as these two separate events. However, the most important difference is where it's happening and who it's happening to. Can you remember Where is Jesus right now in the story? Where is he? Do you remember? He's been traveling through Tyre and Sidon and the Decapolis. So he's not in Jewish territory anymore. He's in a Gentile area. He's surrounded by a big crowd now of non-Jewish people. And we're going to talk in a minute about why that's so important. These thousands of people, these non-Jews, Gentiles, they've been with him 3 days listening to him teach. And they're so hungry that Jesus knows that if he sends them away and they start walking home, they will just collapse on the way. They will faint from hunger and exhaustion. Can you picture that? Have you ever been so hungry, that you go dizzy, that your head actually gets a little bit fuzzy? Or maybe have you ever been so hungry that your stomach rumbles, and it actually rumbles so loudly that the people on the other side of the room kind of stop what they're doing and they look up at you? I've been there, it's awkward. But this here in this story, this is hungry on another level. If they set off home, they will collapse. They will faint. And all that they have among all these thousands of people is just 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. And Jesus takes them, thanks God for them, and shares it among the crowd. Simple as that. And we see, first of all, Jesus' compassion on those who want to be with him. Did you notice that? He says it very early on. I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. These people, they just want Jesus. They just want to be with Jesus so much that they haven't even thought to get food. They're out of food and they're stuffed. There's nothing left. But they just want to be with Jesus. They just want him. And Jesus takes these scraps of food, just like the 5,000, and he shares it out, and it is abundant. Abundant food. Did you see it said, the people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. How did that happen? How did they end up with more food than they started with? If there's even a bit of you that is a bit bored by this story, you know, you've heard it so many times, maybe you've got used to it. Yeah, you feel like you've completed this one. Like, don't switch off, because it is amazing. Just the staggering scale of this story. It's like feeding the whole of Nonsuch, Cheam High, and Overton Grange with just a few paninis from the canteen. It's like feeding the whole of the Royal Albert Hall with a few sandwiches, a pack of chocolate digestives, and a tube of Pringles. Incredible. Impossible, surely. But Jesus does it. And he does it not once, but twice. First, with thousands of Jewish people, and here now in Mark chapter 8, with thousands of non-Jewish people. Jewish people and non-Jewish people. So why does that matter? Why does Jesus do this? It shows us that it doesn't matter who you are, wherever you're from, whatever your background, whatever your skin color, whoever wants to be with Jesus will receive abundantly from him and will be satisfied. Jesus is for everyone. Do you remember the conversation that Jesus had with the Gentile woman in the last chapter that we looked at? She comes up to Jesus. She asks him to drive out a demon from her daughter. And Jesus says, rudely, you don't take the bread from the children and throw it to the dogs. You don't do that. And she says, Lord, even the dogs under the table get the crumbs. They pick up some crumbs. Jesus, do you have anything for me? A dog? Do you have any crumbs? Anything left over? And Jesus shows here in this story that he's got more than just crumbs for the Gentiles. He gives them so much bread, all the bread that they can eat until they are satisfied. More than just crumbs. Jesus didn't just come into the world so that the Jewish people would benefit. He came so that the whole world would benefit. Whoever wants to be with Jesus, whoever wants him, Jesus. This was God's plan all along. It is the story of the Bible. It is the story of history. God's plan to bless the whole world through Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection. That means that we can enter his kingdom. It is true today that whoever wants Jesus will be abundantly satisfied. The abundance that Jesus brings is to have him meet all your deepest needs. And he multiplies his kindness and his mercy and his compassion 1,000 times over in your life. Forgiveness for all your past mistakes. Restored identity and purpose so that we can be all that God made us to be. Brought into his kingdom, into his family, into genuine, selfless community. True freedom. Eternal life after death. Deeply loved and cared for by Father God. To know his constant presence, his strength and his comfort. Reconciliation and relationship with God himself, who alone is the most pure and the most beautiful and the most magnificent being in the universe. More deserving of our worship than any created thing. Christ alone is our greatest delight and our greatest joy. He satisfies. To long to be with Jesus, to have Jesus as your king, to receive Jesus is to be abundantly satisfied. Which means that to the Christian who is lonely, the Christian who is weak and battered, who is aimless and unsatisfied, the Christian who is crushed by disappointment, or burdened by anxiety and fear, they need only look to Jesus. They need to go to Jesus, to be with him, to be in his presence by his Holy Spirit. Whoever goes to Jesus, just as they are, in humble faith, Jesus is able to abundantly satisfy you. See his compassion in this story. His compassion on whoever wants him. But in the next little section, we see his exhaustion with those who set themselves against him. So picture the scene. Jesus has fed these thousands of people. He's sent them away, satisfied, elated. And he gets into the boat and he goes to the other side of the lake. And it's like the Pharisees are there on the beach waiting for him. See what it says. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. So the Pharisees come and they ask Jesus for a sign from heaven. They argue with him, they question him, and they ask him for a sign. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it? What do they need a sign for? What are the Pharisees really after? And there's a bit of a warning for us here. The signs are there. So don't set yourself against Jesus. This is what the Pharisees did. They've seen the things that Jesus has been doing since the start of his ministry. They've seen all that they need to see. They've seen his miracles, his healings, his driving out of demons, feeding over 5,000 people, feeding over 4,000 people with just a few loaves and a few fish. They've heard him teach. They've heard the things that he's said. So the Pharisees, they should have been at the front of the line saying, "Oh, Jesus, yes, you are the Son of God. You are our King. You are our rescuer." But they're not. Why? Why do they argue with him? Why do they test him? And the reason is that they don't believe that Jesus is who he said he is. They didn't want him. They were envious and jealous of him. So they test him and they question him and they argue with him. And did you see how Jesus responds? It says he sighed deeply. Deep sigh. Teenagers, when did you last do that? Parents, when did you last do that? But Jesus here, it's a deep sigh in his spirit. The Greek phrase that's used is really strong. He's exasperated. He's exhausted. He's even grieved by the Pharisees here. This is how Jesus feels when he's confronted by those who've set themselves against him, the Pharisees. And he sees right through them. So what does Jesus do? It says then he left them. He just left them. And the warning for us, I think, is don't be like these guys. The signs are all there about who Jesus is. His teaching, the things he said and did, they all point to Jesus and who he really is. God's chosen King of this world. So if you're listening and maybe you wouldn't call yourself a believer, be open-minded about Jesus. Have you sat down and read through the book of Mark for yourself? If you wanted to read it online for free, you can type in BibleGateway.com. It's there. You can read it for free. You can go on to 10ofthose.com or thegoodbookcompany.com. You can type in Mark's Gospel. You can get one for under £1. And when you read it, don't turn off your brain, but go full detective. Question, investigate, analyze. Because the Pharisees, they weren't talking to Jesus because they wanted to know whether he really was who he said he was. Way back in Mark chapter 3, they've already made up their minds that they want to kill him. They want to destroy him. And so they set themselves against Jesus. Don't do the same thing. Don't look at his signs and his miracles, his feeding of thousands, his healings. Don't hear his words. Don't see his love and his compassion for people. And don't see at the climax of the book, see him give his life for you willingly. Don't look at all that and then set yourself against Jesus. It says that Jesus left them and he got back into the boat with his disciples. And as he's in the boat, we see finally his caution to his disciples. We've seen his compassion, we've seen his exhaustion, and now his caution with those who don't understand. So the last bit, it starts, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it's because we have no bread. It's almost funny, isn't it? The irony of the situation that Jesus fed over 4,000 people with almost nothing, like 2 minutes ago. But the disciples have run out of bread and they think that they're in a pickle. And Jesus says to them, Pharisees are probably still on his mind at this point. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Watch out for that same stuff, the same unbelief, the same antagonism to the king that the Pharisees and Herod have. Watch out. It's toxic. It spreads. It grows like yeast in a loaf of bread. Watch out for it. Herod has already killed John the Baptist at this point. And the Pharisees would sure love to kill Jesus. And in a short while, they'll team up and they'll have Jesus executed too. And Jesus knows this, so he warns his disciples to watch out for them. Watch out. But their response shows that it's gone completely over their head, doesn't it? They say, it's because we've got no bread. It's as if Jesus hadn't said anything. It's almost funny. Except that Jesus' response shows that it's not funny. It says, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Don't you remember? Does he lay it on a bit thick here? Well, it must be that they are missing something really, really important. So he asked them some questions. When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls did you pick up? 12, they replied. So he asked them, and when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? What are they supposed to understand? What are they supposed to understand? What are they not getting? Jesus' power to create enough bread to feed over 4,000 people with almost nothing, not once, but twice, means that they shouldn't have worried about having no bread. All that they had witnessed, all that they had seen Jesus do, should have told them that God himself was among them and that he would provide for them. God himself, the King of Kings, was in the boat with them, able to provide them with everything they need. So the disciples are stressed and they say, we've only got 1 loaf. And Jesus says, remember the baskets and baskets of leftovers with only a few loaves? There's a big disconnect here between the disciples, what they've seen and what they know, and how they're acting now. Why are they worried about having forgotten the bread when Jesus is in the boat with them? And for us, there's a caution here and an encouragement to spur us on. The signs are there. When Jesus is in the boat with you, you have all that you need. The disciples should have thought, we've got to bring bread. There's not enough, but it's okay because Jesus is in the boat with us and he can feed thousands and thousands of people with a few scraps at the drop of a hat. We're going to be okay. As Christians, we hear that and we think, yeah, that sounds right. That makes sense. But do we know that from experience? Do we say that kind of thing to other people? We're going to spend the next 10 seconds just in silence. And in the silence, I want you to think about what's burdening you right now. What's making you anxious? What is filling you with dread and nervousness right now? So 10 seconds. Christian, precious child of God, what if I told you that Jesus, the King of Kings, is in the boat with you? Aware of your situation, aware of your pain or discomfort, fully aware of what you're going through. Jesus knows all about it, and he has the power and the ability and the compassion to help. What is it that you need, but you don't have? Jesus, I don't have peace in my heart. I don't have patience. Jesus, I don't have the strength right now. I don't have the strength to forgive. I don't have the strength to get out of bed in the morning, Jesus. I don't have joy. Jesus, I don't have joy with all the disappointment and all the suffering that I'm going through. Maybe that's what you're thinking. I think we all need reminding every day that Jesus is in the boat with us, his people. It is a game changer, an absolute game changer, when we remember that, isn't it? Jesus is able to help. He's able to give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He is able to feed multitudes with only a few scraps. Jesus' disciples knew that Jesus was in the boat with them, of course. But they had lost sight of what that meant for them, right there. What he was able to do. Why they really didn't have to be anxious or worried. Because Jesus was in the boat with them, they had all they needed. Whatever they needed, whatever was lacking, Jesus could help them. As Christians, will we hold on to that? Will we hold on to that as we head into another month of lockdown? Nothing is too hard for the King of Kings, and he is in the boat with us. What if you were to bring your burdens, your anxieties, your lack to Jesus, the King? What if we were to do that right now? What if we pray right now in the quiet and we bring our needs to Jesus and we ask for his help and we ask him to provide us with what we need? Let's do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your huge compassion on whoever wants you. Whoever they are, wherever they come from. We thank you that as your people, we have received abundant blessings and wonderful things from you. You alone satisfy us. And we thank you for the fantastic truth that you are with us in the boat and you will provide us with everything we need. We love you, Lord, and we worship you as our King this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.